So, we're working our way through the book of Isaiah, a book that is both quite long and quite unfamiliar to us, I'd say, a book that's hard to make sense of, a book that was written a very long time ago. And I think it's safe to say that we've set ourselves a bit of a challenge, haven't we? If anyone has ever learnt to play an instrument, or to speak another language, or to run a marathon, you'll know all about the need for motivation and determination. And if we're going to get through these first 12 chapters of Isaiah over the next few months, then I think that's what we're going to need as well, motivation and determination, because it's not an easy book to read by any means. So what is our motivation for reading this book of Isaiah? Why are we doing this? Is it because we all like reading? Probably not. There are plenty of things that we could read if reading is something that we enjoy doing. And I think that we know that not everyone likes to read, even if many of us do. So is it because we like a challenge? Is that why we're going through the book of Isaiah? It's true that something difficult can be appealing. We only have to think of Hannah abseiling down the Spinnaker Tower last Sunday morning to know that we can rise to a challenge. So there might be something about the length or the difficulty of this book that would make some of us want to read it. I think for me, the motivation to read Isaiah comes from having a certain idea of what it is we're reading when we read from this book. So there's something about this book that helps to give us motivation. And I have a real sense of need as well. After all, there are many, many books that have been written over the course of time. Some have been written as a way of making money, and perhaps even more so now with the influence of AI. But most books are written because of the author's desire and passion to communicate a message. So I find myself asking the question, what is the message of this book? What is the message of the book of Isaiah? What is Isaiah wanting to say? And there's part of me that wants to know what this is all about. You might agree. And there's part of me that recognizes that it's not just Isaiah speaking to us through this book, is it? All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. If that's something we believe, then reading the book of Isaiah or any book of the Bible takes on a whole different dimension, because it's not just about what the person, Isaiah, who wrote it, wanted to say. And if there's a part of me that wants to know what this is all about, it's because I think that God has something to say to us, something that's worth hearing, something that's worth listening to. And part of the motivation for doing this, for engaging with Isaiah, is a conviction that God does have something to say to us, something to say to each one of us. I don't know about you, but in the world that we're living in today, I'm feeling this need that I want to hear God speak. I want to know what God has to say to us. With all that's going on in the world and in our lives, I find that my own thoughts and ideas are not enough. And news reports and podcasts and the thoughts and ideas of other people are not enough either. What I feel I really need is to have God's perspective. And perhaps even more than that, what I really need to hear is God speaking, to hear his words, to hear his voice, to have that experience, that connection, the thing that reminds me that God is real and that he's interested and that his desire is for relationship with us and with people. Now, the first chapter of any book is important. Normally, the first chapter of a book sets the scene for the whole thing. It introduces what the book is going to be about. And last week, with Lou's help, we looked at the first chapter, didn't we? If you're here, you'll remember that. Now, I don't know if any of us can remember any of the things from that first chapter, the things that we've read, the things that we've heard, or anything that Lou said last week. Do you remember anything? Did anything stick out? That's good. Because that's part of the challenge, isn't it? It's hard to hold on to things. It's difficult to grasp the message. I know for myself that I'm struggling to remember what we've read and what we've heard. But let's not lose heart. Let's not give up. This is an opportunity. Each Sunday is an opportunity, like training for a marathon. We know we need to do it. It's an opportunity to become fitter and healthier. And we need to take it a step at a time. We can't rush it. And we're not on our own when we do this, that's for sure. We're in this challenge of going through these chapters together. And there's lots that we can learn from each other as we talk about this, as we talk about the things that we found helpful, the things that are interesting, the things that challenge us. And one of the things that can help us, I think, to make sense of this book is to notice the words and the phrases and the ideas that are repeated. So in a book like Isaiah, repetition is there for a reason. It's there to help us. And as we go through this book, the repetition of ideas and words and phrases is to help us, is to help us to pay attention to what is being said. So you may have noticed that the first verse of chapter 1 and the first verse of chapter 2 are quite similar. Let me read them again just to be sure. So Isaiah chapter 1 verse 1 says, "The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah son of Amoz saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." And then the first verse of chapter 2 says this: "This is what Isaiah son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem." You notice the similarity. Now, having read these two chapters quite a few times, I'm not sure if the first verse of chapter 2 should actually be the last verse of chapter 1. When this was all written down more than 2,500 years ago, there weren't any chapters, numbers, divisions like that. They were all added later. So you can try this for yourself when you have a free moment. Try reading chapter 1 and end with the first verse of chapter 2. Because I think that makes for an introduction to this book, an introduction to the whole book, a lot more clear and defined. Because the same words, we have the same words at the beginning of the introduction and then the same words at the end of the introduction, like a bookends. So have a go reading that at home if you want to. Isaiah then moves on to the next section with the words "in the last days." That's verse 2 of chapter 2. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. So what's clear about the whole book from the introduction is this is a vision. This is something that Isaiah saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And the question for us is, what did he see? And what did he write down? And what do these things mean for us today? And what difference do they make? So I'm going to read chapter 2 again for us, starting at verse 2. And this time, I want you to look for the repetition. Okay, when Luke read it to us just now, you may not have spotted it, but we're going to read it again, and we're looking for all the things that are repeated in chapter 2, all the words and phrases and ideas that Isaiah put in there to help us. I want you to listen carefully. I want you to follow the passage if you've got it open, because I'm going to ask you to give me the things that are repeated afterwards. So that's fair warning, isn't it? Here we go. "In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. You, Lord, have abandoned your people, the descendants of Jacob. They are full of superstitions from the east. They practice divination like the Philistines and embrace pagan customs. Their land is full of silver and gold. There is no end to their treasures. Their land is full of horses. There is no end to the chariots. Their land is full of idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their fingers have made. So people will be brought low, and everyone humbled. Do not forgive them. Go into the rocks, hide in the ground from the fearful presence of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty. The eyes of the arrogant will be humbled and human pride brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. The Lord Almighty has a day in store for all the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled. For all the cedars of Lebanon, tall and lofty, and all the oaks of Bashan, for all the towering mountains and all the high hills, for every lofty tower and every fortified wall, for every trading ship and every stately vessel. The arrogance of man will be brought low, and human pride humbled. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, and the idols will totally disappear. People will flee to caves in the rocks and to holes in the ground from the fearful presence of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he rises to shake the earth. In that day, people will throw away to the moles and bats their idols of silver and idols of gold, which they made to worship. They will flee to caverns in the rocks and to the overhanging crags from the fearful presence of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he rises to shake the earth. Stop trusting in mere humans who have but a breath in their nostrils. Why hold them in esteem? Did anyone notice any repetition in that chapter? Any repeated words, ideas, phrases? If you did, feel free to put a hand up or to just shout out what you saw, what you spotted in this chapter. What was there? Humility. Hiding, fleeing from the Lord's presence. Yeah. Jesus, yep, is in the Bible. There will be, yep, yep. Anything else that's repeated, Peter?
The splendor of his majesty.
The splendor of the Lord's majesty.
The nations
and peoples. It's interesting, isn't it? This is the vision for Judah and Jerusalem, but God's concern is for everyone. That's very clear. Anything else that's repeated that... The mountain of the Lord's temple. Yeah, mountain and temple get repeated. Yeah, there's a lot about human arrogance and pride, which goes with humility and being humbled. The Lord will be exalted. The Lord will be exalted. Anything else? Yep. Absolutely. So it talks about things being humbled, things being exalted, high places, mountains, and things being brought low, trees, tall trees. There's a lot in there, lots of imagery, as well as those words about arrogance and pride and humility and being humbled. Have we missed anything? Yes. Yeah, he will rise to shake the earth. He will rise to shake the earth one day. That is brilliant. Yep. Let us walk in the light of the Lord, is the instruction, descendants of Jacob. But then it talks about hiding in the ground, and rocks and crags and bats and moles, creatures that exist in a dark world. Yeah. Excellent. Anything else that you've spotted? Yes, yes, yes. Lots about idols and idolatry. Yep. There's still more to come if anyone's still willing to push on. Yeah, go, come. Yeah, twice. Come. It's an invitation, isn't it? An invitation that Jesus picks up on in Matthew. Come to me. Come to me. Yeah, what else? Lots of prophecies. In fact, in the New Testament, this book is called the Book of the Prophet Isaiah. And prophecy is about two things, I think. It's about the Lord speaking to his people and someone conveying that message, those words. It's also about what's going to happen in the future. And because verse 2 of this chapter says, in the last days, that immediately pushes us towards what is still to come. But as Peter said when he did his introduction to this book a couple of weeks ago, there are things that Isaiah is writing about in this book that have already taken place. So they're in our past. But there are things that have not yet happened that are in our future that we're looking forward to. If you remember back to the beginning of January when Lou did her talk about looking forward to the coming of Jesus. And what do we do as we wait for Jesus to come? And it's about keeping on trusting, keeping on meeting. That's what we had right at the beginning of the year, and it remains true for us today. We need to keep on waiting and watching for Jesus to come back, expecting his return. Could be any time. There are things that need to be fulfilled before Jesus comes back, but we may not be waiting forever, or we won't be waiting forever. We may not be waiting very long before the Lord returns. There are things that have to happen, but the Lord has promised that he will come back in the same way that he went. Anything else in Isaiah chapter 2, Peter? Descendants of Jacob. And it's interesting that we go from, come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. That's verse 5. And then verse 6, you, Lord, have abandoned your people, the descendants of Jacob. And why has God abandoned them? Because of idolatry. Their land is full of silver and gold. There is no end to their treasures. Their land is full of horses. There is no end to the chariots. Their land is full of idols. They bow down to the work of their hands. All that's about the land being filled, isn't it? And this is only chapter 2. So I think hopefully this will help us as we go forwards. Certainly the first 12 chapters, but if you're brave, if you have time to read the whole book, we'll see again and again the same ideas being used, the same phrases being used, the same words being used throughout this book. But three more things. Okay, there's a lot about days in this chapter. I'll let you find that later. There's two ideas in this chapter that are repeated. There's, and it's the title for today's talk. This is the talk, this chapter talks about the end of wars in the first part of the chapter, and then the end of idolatry in the second part of the chapter. And then this is one that is only kind of to be seen if you read both chapter 1 and chapter 2 together. But the last verse of chapter 2 says this: stop trusting in mere humans who have but a breath in their nostrils. Why hold them in esteem? Stop trusting in humans. And back in chapter 1, we had this: stop doing wrong. Same word in Hebrew. Stop. Stop doing wrong is the message from chapter 1. Stop trusting in humans is the message from chapter 2. And why should we stop trusting in humans? Because they're not God. We're not God. What are some of the ways that we can fall into that kind of trusting in ourselves, trusting in others, trusting in humans rather than trusting in God? What are some of the ways that happens? Or are we people who are totally trusting in the Lord? That's the goal, isn't it? That's the aim, to be fully dependent on God. But our human tendency is towards trusting what we can see. So the descendants of Jacob had seen the other nations practicing all sorts of idolatry and divination and stuff like that. And what happened? They did it. It's the influence of what we see around us. What else can we put trust in? Silver and gold, wealth, security. What we've achieved or accumulated. But Isaiah says, stop trusting in mere humans who have but a breath in their nostrils. Why hold them in esteem when you can trust in God? But trusting God is not an automatic thing. Even for us who have walked with God for many years, it's not automatic. We have to keep telling ourselves, no, we need to trust in God for everything, for our lives, for what we have, for our families, for our friends, for our future. We need to keep trusting in God. We need to stop trusting in humans. And what else is going to happen in the future? In this chapter, we've mentioned it because it gets repeated 3 times. What's the big thing from Isaiah chapter 2 that's going to happen in the future? So we've already mentioned it. It's not a new thing, but what is going to happen in the future? What is ahead of us? Yeah. The Lord alone is going to be exalted. He's going to bring people to a place of humility. He's going to come and display the splendor of his majesty. That's going to happen. And the presence of the Lord will be fearful on that day. It will be overwhelming. What's this talking about? What are these verses talking about? Yeah, when Jesus comes again. And what's going to happen? What does Isaiah tell us is going to happen on that day? What are people going to do on that day? Yeah. There'll be a lot of hiding on that day People will flee to caves in the rocks and to holes in the ground from the fearful presence of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he rises to shake the earth. We have that three times in this chapter. Go into the rocks, hide in the ground from the fearful presence of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty. They will flee to caverns in the rocks and to the overhanging crags from the fearful presence of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he rises to shake the earth. That is going to happen. That's a day that's going to happen. Are we ready? How can we be ready? What do we need to do to be ready for that day that could come? Well, Jesus said, at a moment that we're not expecting, or that most people won't be expecting. We've got to be ready, don't we? So that's why this book is important for us today. It's not just a long Old Testament book that perhaps was Jesus' favorite book from the Old Testament, perhaps next to the Psalms, but this is the book that Jesus quoted from again and again. He knew this book probably by heart, like lots of people knew it by heart. We hardly know it, but this is our opportunity to get to know what Isaiah said. So let's pray and let's take that opportunity. Lord, thank you that you speak to us today. You are God who speaks. You are God who has something to say to us, Lord. And we want to hear you. We want to listen to you. We want to take on board the things that you say that have been written down for us. Lord, your word is precious. Your word is true and trustworthy. Lord, we thank you that you warn us about what's going to happen. You tell us in advance what you're going to do, so that we can be ready, Lord, and help us, we pray, to be ready for you. Lord, help us to humble ourselves before you. Lord, help us to stop trusting in ourselves or in anyone else, Lord, and to trust in you. Help us to understand what that means, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. No, and I had that in my notes. So please read Revelation chapter 6, verses 15, 16, and 17. And that will be in the house group notes as well. Thank you, Sandra.